Well, tonight we're going to begin to, into a teaching in a different area. And I was going over things in, about teaching, and it just kept coming to me to go back and teach in the book of Revelation. We're going to go back here and look into this book. I want to talk about in the introduction tonight to, about this book, because this is very interesting, because it's one of the things I've done before in teaching in this. And I always say is, the book of Revelation is the only book that we have in Scripture. The letter that written this, and that's called a revelation, not revelations. It's not more than one revelation. It's just one revelation. That book is the one revelation that was given to John. And he wrote it down. It isn't like we look in some of the prophets. There's different prophecies and stuff that are given. This whole thing was given to John. It's a revelation. And it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's to the church. It is the only and only one that we have in the New Testament that it was directly given by Jesus Christ to the church. Now, that doesn't mean that other ones or the writers weren't inspired by the Spirit to write. This one was directly given by the angel of the Lord to the church. We don't have any other writing like this. So this is a unique book, but it is the most probably of in the church world people know the least about, and people stay away from the most. It's the oddest thing to me. Is you have something that Jesus Christ found that was so profound for him to give to the church, and yet people avoid it. And I can sort of see why. It's one of the things that we deal with people. People have their ideas and things. They add to and, you know, take away from and do all kind of things with it, which it tells you you're not supposed to do. People try to... They speculate about things. I want to stay away from that. I'm not trying to speculate on stuff. We just look at what the Scripture says. And if I have an idea about it and I say it, I'll let you know it's my idea. It's not, we ain't writing a book on it. And try to push it across, because we've had too much of that. Lots of material that's been written in the book of Revelation has been very bad over the years. I mean, it's already proved itself out not to be true. And people wrote over time of their ideas, and it doesn't. It's just let God bring any revelation. Let God bring it to us. Let him reveal his, when it's going to be revealed, let him reveal it instead of us trying to reveal it. We don't need to do that. We will understand it in its time. It becomes completely clear to us. And so it's looking into this here, because if we take all the different writings that came from different writers, like, you know, the Apostle Paul, the majority of the letters in the New Testament. We have the Gospels, but the Gospels were actually under the law yet. The Gospels were written under law. They weren't written under grace. Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. So in a sense, the ministry of Jesus was the fulfillment of a prophet under the law. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't some wonderful revelations. There's absolutely wonderful revelations in Jesus, things that Jesus brought out in those Gospels that were brought out in Revelations really speak to the church in its time. But the letters to the church, we need to understand this, because these are specifically written to us. They're written to you and me. It's for the believer. These things are not for the world. They are not written to the world or for the world. They're for us. These are things that the Holy Spirit teaches and brings us understanding into. So when you read the New Testament, the letters to the church are written specifically to you and I as believers, and the Holy Spirit reveals things for us in those. It's not to the world. It wasn't written to the world. What we do, we're preachers to the world, the gospel for people to be saved, but we don't teach the world. This is one of the great fallacies of the church, keeps trying to teach sinners. Christians keep trying to teach sinners. You don't teach sinners. You get them saved and then let them get the teacher in them. And when the teacher is in them, then you can begin to teach them and he'll reveal stuff to them. So we want to do that. Paul was a writer. We look at the things that were written in there. Paul has numbers of them. We have James. James was is the head of the church. Now we have apostolic writings. And when we talk about apostles, Paul was an apostle, but he wasn't an apostle, what was called or known as apostle of the Lamb. He did not walk or know Jesus in his time. The 12 apostles that walked with Jesus, those 12 apostles are called the 12 apostles of the Lamb. In fact, you found out in the book of Acts when, after Judas had died, they were going to appoint another person. And they appointed another one. They said that the person, there was qualifications for the apostles of the Lamb. They had to have been with Jesus from the beginning. and had to have walked with him through the whole time to the time that he left. This is why that we know this, that even though the 12 apostles walked with Jesus all the time, there were other apostles, people, disciples who followed after him the whole time too. They walked and lived. The 12, and so the 12, their job was when they preached, they could tell people specifically they knew Jesus before he died. They saw him after he was raised from the dead. This is, they're physically, they're witnesses of Jesus's ministry. They're witnesses of his death. They saw him die. They saw him raised from the dead. They're eyewitnesses. Apostle Paul was not an eyewitness. He did not fall into the category of the other apostles. This is why he talked. He said he didn't. He said because he persecuted the church. He didn't fall in. He said he didn't deserve to be in that group because why of what he did see. He didn't know Jesus. He saw Jesus in a vision when he was on the road to Damascus, but he had never walked with Jesus or ever saw or heard him preach or anything. So he didn't qualify in with those apostles. Now that doesn't make him, you know, anything lesser in what he taught or said or did. He had revelations and many revelations he got from God. But there was a difference in these men. We have the writings. We even have like writings. Everybody looks like all these, everybody's apostle. Well, Mark, the gospel of Mark was not, Mark was not an apostle. Mark, who wrote the gospel of Mark, was John Mark, who was under Paul's ministry, who wrote it. He was under Paul's ministry, but he was also, as a young man, saw and knew Jesus under his ministry. And he wrote about it as a young man. This is John Mark. Now, we have like James, now we have writings, James writing. James was not an apostle. James was the head of the church in Jerusalem. He was Jesus's brother, not by blood, but he was his brother, born, raised in a household. He was an apostle. He wrote. So God used people to writings like Jude. Jude wasn't an apostle, but he wrote, and we have the writings of Jude. Now we know with John's writings, John has three and Peter does. And then we have Paul, which wrote the majority of the letters and that stuff. Luke wrote, if you look at the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, you put the two, they fit right together, where Acts, Luke ends at the end of the resurrection with Jesus. He begins talking about in the book of Acts. He wrote the book of Acts, Luke did, and it takes right off from there. He's speaking about what took place of his writings before, and so it picks right up. So Luke's writing, if you take Luke's gospel and the Acts, they flow, the whole thing flows right together, one story, right through. So Luke was interesting as an apostle because Luke followed Paul's ministry and wrote about Paul's ministry. God had Luke, who was an apostle of the Lamb, follow after Paul and write Paul's ministry. In the book of Acts, Luke's the one that wrote about Paul's ministry. His guy followed after. That's why we have so much detail about Paul's ministry in the book of Acts. So, and when we're talking about Luke, we're talking about somebody who wrote firsthand. So we have someone who firsthand walked with Jesus, firsthand saw Jesus die on the cross, saw Jesus raised from the dead. And then we have the firsthand of the book of Acts of how God was working in the church through the other apostles and then Paul's ministry. So it really ends up to be, it's quite a story. And so Luke, God had Luke put that together. So it's very valuable teaching. The book of Revelation is interesting. And it's from this standpoint about it. There's vague controversy about when it was written. There's some of say it was written during the time of Nero, that Nero had John put on the Isle of Patmos. But one of the things is the problem with that. People try to do this. People try to take the fall of Jerusalem and dealing with the area of Nero. They say Nero was the beast that was in the book of Revelation. Well, I just want to say this. If Nero was the beast, if he was actually the beast, then the millennial reign is already over. It was over 1,000 years ago. If he was the beast, over 1,000 years ago, I don't know what time we're in now. Then what is this? You know, how can we, you know, because the book of Revelation says that the beast was thrown alive into the lake of fire with the false prophet. Well, Nero wasn't thrown alive into the lake of fire. He committed suicide. See, people try to get things and try to, people get over, they don't make sense in what they're doing. If Nero was the beast, then Jesus already returned. So in other words, if that's true, this Bible is of zero value to you and me because everything in it's been done and we're living in a place without a God, because what does it point to follow God? Everything's been completed. Are we living in the new heaven and new earth? where all righteousness dwells? I don't think so, the last time I checked. So people get ideas and they teach things, and you need to be get very careful. They get the idea, they say, because the temple that's talked about in the book of Revelation is the temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed. Well, is number one, that couldn't have been, because we know this. Ezekiel prophesied about an end-time temple and told about the building. If you go read the book of Ezekiel, he goes into all the detail of the size and dimensions of the new temple and all this kind of stuff. Well, the temple that existed in Jesus' time was nothing like that temple. So it couldn't be, you know, the whole idea, they try to fit everything into something that they can see. People have a hard time walking by faith. They have a just, you know, walking toward the future of things that we don't always have as much information as we like is so difficult for people. People hate to trust, you know. God said something was going to happen. It's going to happen. How it's going to happen? I get a clue. No, we have to know how it's going to happen. We'll try to figure out things the way it is, and we'll write stories about it, and it'll be wrong. You know, we just let the word fulfill itself. Allow it to. We just walk in faith with what we can see. This is how you can learn to rest. I learn about this by doing this, is because when I first started off as a young Christian, there was so much being said and done about the end times. I mean, when I came in the 1980s and the 1980s, there was lots of books being written, stuff, people being said. I had enough revelation that I got just reading the Bible to realize that people were saying things that were unscriptural. And I just got, and as a young Christian, it was very frustrating, because I wouldn't trust to listen to people, because they're saying one thing over here and then they're saying this over here. They're taking things that had to do with the Jews and the tribulation, saying it's a church, this, and then one thing saying the church is going to be leaving before the tribulation. How can they be leaving when you just put them over here and this and saying this is talking about the church? You know, you can't, it's just nonsense. And so I said to the Lord one day, and it was out of my frustration as a young Christian, I said, Lord, they have 20 different ways telling us how you're going to come back. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, I mean, just completely clear, said, yeah, 19 of them are wrong. And that's when I just stopped and I said, you know, I'm going to quit listening to people on this thing. I want to let God, sometimes you got to let God reveal things to you. Because there's so many things said, sometimes it's hard to judge, especially being a young Christian. You're counting on people around you to teach you on certain things, and I realized, boy, there's areas you can't let people teach you on, because there's so many things said. It gets out there. It's like all of them are saying so many different things. And so I just stopped and I said, well, you're sitting down and reading the scripture. And I found out I got more revelation from not directly studying the end times. It's just by studying the Bible and other things. And the Lord would all of a sudden reveal certain things, because there are so much in the Bible that speaks toward the end. You know, it's really interesting. People don't pay attention. But you look at scriptures, Jesus at times made statements of scripture that he pulled out, and he said, this is what it's talking about. And if you read the whole context, it don't seem at all it's saying that, but Jesus said, this is what it's talking about. But see, we took certain things and our own ideas and our own stuff, and we got over there. What we find out is the same thing. As I mean, Paul did the same thing. Paul said, when he talked about under the law, about the, you know, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. He said, you think it's talking about oxen? He was talking about people taking care of the ministers and the teachers in the church. And he said, you think it's talking about oxen? He said, you think that's what God's interested in? The oxen? He said, this is not talking about that. Well, see, by natural words, it seems to be that that's what it's saying. But see, those words and all those things under the law were to show something of the future that had to do with grace and how God was moving up. But people interpret it all in their manner, not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach. So I want you to, as we look at these things, and especially as you read them, don't be afraid. No Christian should ever fear things about the end times. If you have fear of the end times, it's you are not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're letting your own mind think about, like, see, people in these last days, they're looking at all these things going on and how bad things are getting. And people are saying all kind of things that aren't good. They're fearful. Christians are saying all kind of fearful things about, oh, everything's going to fall apart. Well, if it does, God still has to take care of them. He's obligated to. If he doesn't, why follow him? Why would he tell me to be peace and at rest? Why would he tell me to fear not? Why would he say all those things if he's not going to take care of us? Then you better fear. You better do something. So don't get yourself fearful. In the end, anybody preaching these things that is trying to bring people into there is the bondage of fear. The only thing I want to tell this, the unbelievers better get scared, because if they ain't going to get in line, it's going to be a terrible thing. The believers don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. God, in his great wisdom, has given us all these information of these things so we can know what's going on. He wants to reveal to you what's happening and what's going on. He wants you to know. He doesn't want you to be afraid about anything. Hallelujah. So get yourself set in that. So when you read things, if they seem to make fearful, settle this with yourself. I must not understand what this is saying, but God will reveal it. He'll show it to me. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be. This is not to, it's not to make me afraid. It's not to make the church. Jesus is coming back for the church to take his church. And the Bible tells us clearly, we're not appointed to wrath. This time period is about wrath. This is about wrath. We're not appointed to that. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, we're not appointed to the wrath of God. Thank God. But the unbeliever, any of the unbelieving, they are appointed to the wrath of God. I mean, John wrote it in 3 John 3:36. He said that concerning the unbeliever, he said, the wrath of God abides on him. Well, you're not an unbeliever, are you? So the wrath of God does abide. What abides on you is the blessing. You have been redeemed from the curse. The curse is just what it is, a curse. It's not, no curse is good. So, but you've been redeemed from the curse. In the book of, in Revelation, we really see many, the full curse on the earth. Every ugly thing that can happen will take place. Any ugly thing, a pestilence, you name it, every ugly thing takes place. Why? The curse. It's a curse. It's the fulfillment of the curse. In a sense, it's like this. Everybody's going to reap what they sown. See, we get to reap. We as believers, we get to reap what we have sown. We get to be with Jesus. The world reaps what they have sown. And what their reward is? The curse. Every ugly thing, every terrible thing that happens. So, you can smile and say, praise God. Thank God I don't have to go there. Thank God, you know, hallelujah. So keep yourself over always on the side that, you know, God's good. Because of the things that are written about this, one of the things that I look at from the standpoint of John, because my personal thing is I do believe that this was written after the fall of Jerusalem, that John was in the Isle of Patmos, and the studies, there's just too many things of the events that we know in the book of Revelation that fall, there's many things, a lot of the book of Revelation is really falls in a chronological order. So if it does, then things that people are saying, if Jerusalem was still standing there, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fall in line. But when John wrote this, if you really think of the period of time, John saw when Jesus first started his ministry and has gone through the fact of he's come to the point where he is the last of the apostles of the Lamb who's alive, and even Paul's dead, has been. He is the only apostle of the Lamb who died a natural death. All the rest of them were persecuted, put to death. All the rest of them. And then even the apostle Paul was put to death. So, but he was the only one that had lived through. So he has seen, in other words, he is at the point where he has, this revelation takes place, that all these things have taken place. He has seen the fall of Jerusalem. He has seen the Romans come and take Jerusalem. And he's watched the Jews. He has seen what Jesus prophesied and told them there would not be one stone left upon another in this temple. He saw it take place. 70 AD took place and he saw it happen. He knew that all these things took place. So he lived during all this time period. And so he comes along, and this revelation that he got after all is taught and said, and before, I want, you know, it's an interesting, because the Bible is a very, to me, is a really interesting book, because this is the revelation from Old to New Testament that God has seen fit through the ages to leave to us specifically. And it is amazing, because if you take historically and look, It's just like when he found the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls, all the people were raving and saying, oh, now we're going to find out a lot about the Bible isn't true. And when they got the Dead Sea Scrolls and they got the Dead Sea Scrolls out, they found out, oh, it's the same stuff. The most complete book of the Dead Sea Scrolls they found was Isaiah. And they compare it to Isaiah, and it's just, it is just like Isaiah's written. But it's amazing. It is really, in a sense, a miracle that that these writings were so well kept from all these centuries, from the time of Moses' writings, the whole way down through, that we have them today with the accuracy. I mean, it's a miracle that that happened. We don't have anything in history like this. There's nothing you can back in history and find this like this. Oh, we find writings, a little of this here and a little of that there, and but nothing so complete as this. The history of Israel itself is an amazing thing, because there's so many blanks in it in natural history that they wonder about if certain people even existed. But this book, God kept. The writings that these people did in these times were kept all this time. Now, I will guarantee you, there was thousands upon thousands and thousands of writings did. But you know, God gave these ones to us. And I'm just going to tell you this. There's nothing that He can't reveal to you. You don't need more writings. Amen. There's nothing He can't reveal to you about His plans, purposes, and Himself that He can't reveal to you in this book. Anything. This book is phenomenal. It amazes me. I have read through it, and when I find out, God will give me a revelation, I'll think, how little you know about it, because why? It's not understood by the mind. It's revealed by God. And this book, think of how many books people have written off of revelations off of this book. Do you find any other books like that? Where you have millions of books have been written about revelations from this book. Do you find anybody else has a book, ever wrote a book that's like that? No. This got to be God-breathed. Hallelujah. And God's given it to you. Wow. It's a phenomenal thing. That's why you always treat it like it really is. This is a revelation of heaven given to you. This is yours. The book of Revelation is God's last thing that He put in this book, and He had it put in this book as the last revelation to give to us. This is the one on here that He specifically dictated to John and for John to write to give to you. So it's His importance is really incredible. What's when people look at this book, and many of people who have written about this book, they write this thing as being just figurative and all this kind of stuff and things. When you put everything as an areas of figurative, you can come up with all kind of ideas. And that's what they've done with it. It's a revelation. This is what Jesus, the scripture says. Paul wrote and said, God hadn't chosen many wise. So all the geniuses, they got these special revelations, this stuff and that. I'm sorry. The most simple should be able to read this and understand it. If it requires a mastermind for you to understand this, it didn't come from God. It's not a book from God. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, if I gave a revelation to somebody and it takes real genius to tell you how it works, he said, I never gave it. He said, I only give for the simple. See, because it takes a mastermind. The masterminds are always big-headed. They get like this. I have this special stuff. I'm this. No, it's not. This is for the person that you could sit down and teach people about this that couldn't even read or write and they can understand. If you can't do that, it wasn't God talking to begin with. It wasn't God. And see, the book, when they look at this, and this is this figurative, mystical book, well, right away, I know, don't be listening to what they have to say, because they're going to have all kind of mystical stuff that you will never be able to prove by the Bible. Much of the book of Revelation has already been things that was been spoken by prophets of old. And it's accumulation. One thing the book of Revelation does is because it takes much revelation that God did give and puts it in a categorical order for us to be able to see. Plus there's things that He showed more detail to in this book concerning this time period. One of the things is, like, I've heard people say, well, if the church is not going to go through this, why does God take so much time to tell us about it if it isn't for us? All the wisdom of God is for us. The knowledge, God speaks to us to his future. God doesn't hide, it says God doesn't hide anything in the Old Testament. It said he didn't hide anything from his prophets. Is he going to hide from you who are the priests and the kings? Is he going to hide? No. He wants us to know. There's one, I will tell you this right now. There's many people who will not take the mark of the beast because of this book. They're going to know the time that they're in. They're going to know who the beast is. They're going to know what's going on. There's we have it here, 144,000 Jews, 12,000 of each tribe of Israel are going to be set out. They're going to be evangelists of the time. What do you think they're going to be talking about? They're not going to be they're going to be preaching the Bible. This is the revelation. That's what they're going to preach. And they're going to be showing, laying out to the people what the time period they're in and what they have to do. Because it tells people in this time period, as we look at here, the things going on, the things happening. And so God is showing us for people, hallelujah, he wants us to know what his plans and purpose are. He doesn't hide from us. So even things that may not have to do with you specifically, God doesn't want you to understand and know what's going on. So this is one of the wonderful parts about it, is understanding these things. And so one of the things we want to do as we go into this book is we want to allow this book to reveal itself to us, let the Holy Spirit teach. If there's things we don't understand, well, we just don't understand. I mean, God will reveal them to us. He'll show them to us. You know, there's things. Many times you have to get along, and I found out with the Bible, many times works this way. Sometimes you need to get into the period of time when things are happening that have to do with that so you can see clearly about it. It's just that's the way it operates. That's just the way it works. And so sometimes certain things don't get revealed right away. This is where the walking by faith. We just walk in what we do know. God will bless you in walking in just what you know. That he'll bless you with that. Now, this revelation of this book, in Revelation, the first chapter, it starts off in the first verse and it tells us, it starts off, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, of his plans and purposes of who he is, he said, which God gave him to show his servant. This revelation was given from the Father to Jesus to show us. God the Father specifically gave this to Jesus Christ to show you. You know, this makes this very personal, don't it? I mean, this is a very personal thing that God wanted to give you. He gave Jesus a specific revelation to show it to you. Now, we need to understand, this revelation that comes is to the church. It is not to the world. It is to the church. Why? Because the church is the carrier of the revelation. The world don't preach it. We are. We're the characters. We preach the revelation. Well, it goes on inside. His servant, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So, did you ever, you know, hear in the scripture you say the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord is Jesus. This is given by an angel who is the Lord, or we would say Jesus' angel. This angel, when he appears, it is just as if Jesus Christ himself is speaking. You'll notice in Scripture, angels would be sent from God to say something, that angels wouldn't speak anything other than God said. They didn't have any other thing to say other than what God said. When the angel of the Lord showed up, he spoke. He was the voice of God. This angel is just as if Jesus Christ is speaking in the first person. This is exactly what he's doing here. He said, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. He says, so this revelation was given by the Father to Jesus to directly give to us. And the letters to the church, this vision and revelation is specifically stated that it is for the church of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus sent his angel. And so this is specifically to you and I. You're the church. This wasn't just set for the church at that time. You're the church. We're the church today. It's for us. So in verse 3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. What does it say? Get afraid. Get scared. Oh, my, you read this, it's going to be hard to understand, it's really going to be tough, and watch out. No, he said, you're blessed. Would a blessing scare you? Might excite you. He said, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So, specifically, there is no other letter in the church that states this about its writing. No other letter does that. This is the only one that states this. So this should be a high-level priority to the church, shouldn't it? It's a blessing, yet churches don't teach it, they don't read it, they try to hide from it, and yet Jesus said it's a blessing. Now, I want you to understand this, because we want to talk about this fact of this reading this. How important is this letter? Well, I'm going to jump and back to Revelations, the 22nd chapter, because we want to read at the end of it what it says about this letter that has been written by John, was given by revelation of Jesus Christ concerning an end time period, God's plan and purpose. And we're going to start in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We're going to look at the 16th verse. And this is Jesus. He said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church. See, it is his angel. My angel, he said, I sent to tell you this. This is what I sent him for. He said, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Now, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Now, you already said, whoever says, come. Now, he's talking about calling Jesus to come. See, we see criticism, people wanting Jesus to come back. You know, they all, people just escape us. Jesus said we're supposed to say, come. Huh. We're supposed to be calling to Jesus to come. I wonder if he really meant that, or that's just written there, just some nice stuff at the end of the book. And does he really mean? Are we supposed to be in a prayer saying, hey, Lord, we want you to come back? I heard people say, we don't pray, don't come back yet. You know, we got this to do. Hold it. I don't know. See, I hear people say things. I just think we ought to read the book sometime. And start doing what the book says instead of what people have their ideas and things. Now, this is verse 18. It says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Whew. Pretty serious stuff about this book. See, Lord never told me to write anything on this, but I don't know. Some people, I think a lot of people wrote what they shouldn't have written. Because they add to, take away, add stuff, things, try to make things say stuff. We need to be very careful about these things and what we do with them. People need to be diligent. You make sure God's telling you, make sure you know. And then in verse 19 says, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Name. Removed from the book of life. Christians need to be careful what they do about this stuff. Men and their ideas and their thoughts. I mean, we need to take, this is scripture, and we need to take it. There's something I always think about. The scribes who did the writing of the law and stuff, and they would write it, and it was all handwritten. It was put on scrolls and things, and they would write them. A lot of the scrolls were done off of skins and stuff and things, and they would do, and they would handwrite them. They were so, about the scriptures, the holiness of scripture. They would not write the name of God without first going. They took a ceremonial bath and changed clothes, and they would write them. I don't care if the next verse had the word God in it. They did it again. God was so holy and so separated from us then. They took the word. It was so separate. You just don't go around and throw the name God out there just anywhere. He's holy. You're dealing with something holy. We don't know about those things in our culture at all. That's why. Can you imagine? See, I understand that when he writes in the end, you add to or take away from anything. And people need to take these things. This is very, these are sacred. These are sacred writings. God specifically gave this to John. Father God gave a revelation, had Jesus send his angel to the church. This is a personal letter. This is a personal writing in Revelation. And you know, I think it's why sometimes we don't get Revelation, because we don't treat the holiness of Scripture of what it is. This is God breathed through the ages. Moses went up on a mountain, and up on that mountain he got a revelation. He wasn't with Adam and Eve, and yet he saw Adam and Eve in the garden and wrote about them. God revealed those things. This is God's revelation to a man. He wasn't in Genesis. He was in Exodus. The book of Genesis was written by him. He saw Abraham's life and never walked with Abraham. See, he was up in the mountain. He wouldn't have been 40 days with God up there, you know, eating, you know, grapes. He wasn't doing it. He was up there. He got a revelation up there. It said when he went up in the mountain, he said God hit him in the cleft of a rock and he saw God's back parts. In other words, he saw the past. Everybody said, oh, he saw God's back. That ain't what it's talking about. He saw what happened in the past. God walked by and showed him the past. He saw Genesis. He saw the beginning. He saw what everything up to his time, and he wrote about it. It's a direct revelation from God. He wrote about it. He saw all those things and wrote down about them. He saw all the things with the flood and all those kinds of things. Why? These were directly given by God. See, when we look at these things, we need to take them. When people today say, well, you know, creation really wasn't, no, like it was. It was, we were a slug somewhere. And we have Christians doing this thing now. You know, we evolved. A spirit being does not evolve. A spirit being can't evolve. The spirit being, God created in his image and his likeness. You don't evolve into the image and likeness of God. You've got to be made that way. You can't evolve into it. And see, God gave those revelations. We're so fortunate that we have them. And take them as they are. These are things we walk in faith. You know, I could read things in Genesis and those things, and some of it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't really, it doesn't matter. It's true. This is God speaking, and God put it there. My job is to believe it. My job is not to try to figure things out. My job is to believe that it's true that God said it. Because until you do, God will never reveal to you. See, everybody wants, I'll believe it when I understand it. No, I'm sorry. It's true whether Ed understands it or not. It's accurate. It might not seem accurate to me. My mind may be able to fit it where it belongs, but that's not what the point of it is. The point of it is God has spoken this, and there's a revelation, and all of this was written for our admonition. All that happened in the past was written for Ed's learning. So what I want to do mostly is I want to learn from this. I want to see what was it that those things he's trying to reveal for them, because it isn't just to give me a history. It's to give me a future. It's revelation that I can live and walk in today, right in the present, but also to the future. I can't live in the past. So these things must be written for our present and for our future. The book of Genesis is for my present. It is called the book of the beginnings, and God reveals the end from the beginning. You can't know the end without understanding the beginning. This is why today there's so much misunderstood about end times, because people discount a lot about the beginning. You know, it's not all really true. You know, God, it didn't really happen that way. God in one day didn't do this or did, you know, our God is great, but he ain't that big. See, we want God to come and do great things for us, not believing he's great. He can't create an earth and set it in. He can't create things in a week's time and set it in. He ain't that big. But my problem is you're supposed to come and fix it for me. Why? He ain't that big. You don't believe he's that big. See, I believe he's that big. I believe he did those things. Say, how did he do them? I don't know. I ain't God. He said, he just said it and it came to pass. And he teaches us in faith, but I learned from this from him. This faith of believing and saying works. Amen. Now, I ain't exactly on his level. I know the principle works. And he's gone. If it will work for me by principle, what must it do through him? My God, he's gone. Glory. So this is a wonderful thing. And I just want you going into this, you know, I have written down anything. This is the things mostly that God told me just is doing an introduction because we're looking at the Word of God. And we want to take it with that reverence. This is something special that God specifically took this revelation, specifically gave it firsthand to the church. He turned around, had John write it down. John didn't just sit down. John wrote it as it was part. He didn't turn around 2 years later and say, you know, this happened to me and I just... Nah, God said, you write this thing down. This is a thing. The church in that day, when John wrote it down, he sent it to the seven churches. Because seven churches he talked to, he sent it to them. He immediately sent it to the church. This is God talking. This is for you. God gave me this revelation. I wrote it down directly from heaven. This is a direct writing. This isn't what I was thinking or I was trying to see. This wasn't a pizza night and I just overate pizza and soda and I got myself over and I had this really weird dream, you know, that's not what happened. God gave this revelation and, if you and I will take it, it's just, you know, today, this is for us. This is written for you. You're the church of Jesus Christ. We have letters that were written. Paul wrote distinct letters to churches, wrote to churches in areas. They called them around letters. What they did is they passed them on. One church he'd send it to and they would send the letter to other churches and things. But those letters, everything was written specifically for the church. And he wrote to churches and areas and stuff and sent revelations. But this is one revelation that God gave and was for the whole church. And it's written to us and we have it today. And I'm not going to go on any more in teaching in it because of getting more involved in it tonight. But I just want to do this introduction. As we look into this, it's taken with a great seriousness of what it says that this is written to you. You don't have to understand. We don't have to understand everything. What we want to do is we want to be taught of the Holy Spirit. We're just believing that it's true. And this was what God gave. And this was to you. It isn't something to make you afraid. It isn't something to make you fearful. When we look at these things, some people look and say, well, how can God do this to people? Well, the reason people don't understand that is they don't know God. God doesn't do any of this to these people. These people do it. They call this upon themselves. They are going to reap what they've sown. Nobody can blame God for any of this happening. Whether people like it, out in their life, you know, you live in a world, and this world is a tribulation world. This world is trouble, is in it too. There's stuff going on and problems. But people are out here, it's like I said on Sunday, they're shooting themselves in the foot. And they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. And they're like somebody else is doing something to me, like somebody else is hurting me, and it's not. You know, what's coming along is realizing God is showing us these things and that stuff. He's showing us what to come. We know things we can deal with and what to do. And we just need to follow and walk in the light of these things and let God continually show himself to us. So we're going to end there tonight. I'm going to pray and then we'll pick up next week where we'll just start into the teaching. As we go into this teaching, I'm not going to specifically teach about the churches. I've already taught. You can go online. The churches are online that we talked about. But we're going to talk about the rest of it more detail. I've taught on it before in detail. But every time I go over into this, I always learn something. I always learn things. I go in to see them and say, oh, man. Because really what happens is the more you learn about the Word, the more you begin to see about things. It's like anything, you know, it's very easy. Some things sometimes are hard to learn. You sit down and look at, but once you learn a couple steps, it's like, oh, I can see how this works here. I can see that now. But before you couldn't until you learned those things. So over time, we're able by the Holy Spirit to grasp. The Holy Spirit doesn't teach any different than people teach. You don't teach people, you know, there's things that you want to teach certain basic principles before you go into teaching people other stuff. You know, everybody wants to go, let's go into the deep things. Well, if you ain't been in the shallow end, don't go to the deep end. You're going to drown there. That's what happens. Say, there's all kind of people. I want to go to the deep end. Can you swim? No. We can't swim, so throw them in the deep end. Let them drown. You know, some people just need to do that. They just need to go drown to wake up. You know, just like drag them back out to the shallow end. See, now let's learn to swim, dummy. So this is what we do as teaching. As we go along, we learn to swim. And really, the things of the Word. And we do. And as we go along, the Holy Spirit, He can take us out into things that, oh, it isn't hard for us to see then. It's like, oh, I can see that. Why? Because now I know this and I know that I know why that is. And so we're always going to see things deeper. You're never going to go to things and say, well, I got this all now. You know, no, you'll always learn more. And you go back over something that you've learned 27 times and look back and say, oh, wow, I didn't see that about that before. Why? Because you got other revelation. And now there's things that you can see in that. That's the wonderful thing. That's why this book's alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that isn't just the book's alive. You're alive.
Amen.
You have life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the author of life lives in you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just say thank you. How wonderful it is that you gave us the wonderful teacher. How wonderful it is, Lord God, as we go into this book and we look through this book. You're going to just bless us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're opening our eyes, Lord God, to see. Father, we're not looking at these things, Lord God. Lord, we do have compassion on people because we don't want to see people to end up in this thing. We don't want to see people that are going to end up this way, Father. We want people to come to the light of the truth. And so we thank you. You're going to reveal things to us so we can help people. Hallelujah. So we can be a blessing. That's what we desire because you're the God that blesses us. Hallelujah. And it's not hard for the blessed to bless. So we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.